No, I'm sorry. I overstepped my bounds on that one. Hope everyone's enjoying your Sabbath. It was a rough week with the wind and rain and all that stuff. Just have to deal with it. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve lived without shame. They had not sinned, and we don't know how long it was before they were created, before Satan was allowed to enter the picture. There was, right in my eyeballs, whew. There was peace and tranquility. Mankind had direct access to God, which was the intention that God had for mankind all along. Of course, Eve was deceived, and Adam willingly went along with Eve and her decision. And mankind has been cut off from God ever since. But God has a way to rectify the situation by calling a select few through the ages up until Christ came to this earth to dethrone Satan the devil and then to build his church, Christ's church. We are the called out ones waiting for Christ to return to usher in the access to God for all of mankind. God's way will be restored and mankind will once again have an attraction for God. What will be the cause of that attraction, of that willingness or wanting to know who God is and to know God? How will the survivors of the tribulation period and day of the Lord react, and how will they turn to God? Turn over to Micah 4. We were doing the Bible study in the book of Micah, and this scripture kind of caught my eye, just the last verse of this scripture. But Micah 4, verse 1, it says, I'll start reading. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. So God's kingdom will be established on this earth. Finally, after 6,000 years of Satan's rule, the god of this world, God's way will be established. His government will be upon the whole earth over all nations. And the last line there in verse 1 of chapter 4 says, and peoples shall flow to it. The Hebrew word for flow is nahar, N-H-A-R, N-A-H-A-R. It means to sparkle or to be cheerful. It also can mean a sparkle of or the sheen of a flowing stream. It could also mean to assemble or to flow together, to be enlightened. So with all those words, all those descriptions, the people will have an attraction to Jesus Christ as King of Kings. They will want to flow to him much like a running stream because of the peace and tranquility that they were going to see. They will be attracted to the sparkle or the light of Christ and the light of the resurrected church, which we will exude. Also, the light of Israel's example. Eventually, that's going to happen. Israel example, they will be set up as the model nation, and the people will see that light as well. Verse 2, many nations shall come and say, what are these saying? What's the reason for them wanting to do this? Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. And the Gentiles notice something different. To the house of Jacob, the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Finally, they will be open and attracted to be taught God's way and to walk the path of righteousness. They will be attracted to God's law and his word. The people will see how Israel is being blessed as being the model nation that God had always intended them for them to be. And the nations will want what they have, and they're going to want to know how to get it done. And they're going to recognize how to get it done. Turn over to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Here, verses 1 through 5, it's speaking to Israel after their return from captivity. In verse 1, it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Israel, light has come, and that is Jesus Christ, second coming. The kingdom is set up in Jerusalem and Zion. Verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Speaking to Israel here. So this is speaking of the tribulation period in the day of the Lord. People, Israel will be called out of darkness and be built as a nation. And where it says, and his glory will be seen upon you, Israel will be seen as the example nation. They will be the model nation. Verse 3, the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. So the Gentiles will come flowing to that light, or streaming to that light. They will see the rising of a nation of Israel, and the light will shine. Verse 4, lift up your eyes all around and see. Let's just stop right there. Take a look around and see what's happening. And God's just not talking to Israel here. He's talking to us as well. Do we grasp the significance of this matter? Do we really understand what God's doing here? The Gentiles are going to want what Israel has. They see what they've got and they're going to want it. They're going to want those blessings. Verse 5, well, let's continue in verse 4. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gathered together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Verse 5, then you shall see and become radiant. And your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. If Israel can grasp the significance of what's going on here, they will become radiant. You and I have God's Holy Spirit. We should become radiant in a sense, be lights to the world. We should feel these same emotions as we when we read these prophecies, swelling with joy, because we're going to be a part of this. It's not just words in a book. It's real life, and it's going to happen. Israel will finally get it and will allow God to shine in them and become light to the Gentiles. I'm not going to turn there, because of time's sake, but Jeremiah 31, it talks about Israel being scattered by God and then God bringing them out of captivity as a shepherd does his flock. And then in verse 12 of chapter 31 of Jeremiah, it says, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, speaking of Israel, streaming to the goodness of the Lord. Why? Well, there's many reasons why, but God gives us some reasons. For what? For wheat, new wine and oil, for the young of the flock of the herd. And then it says, their soul shall be a well-watered garden. God's going to be working with Israel first. And then the Gentiles will be attracted to that. So what are the attractions that the Gentiles will see and want? We already covered some of those, but let's just go over them real quick. Why will the Gentiles want to flow to Jerusalem? Reason number one. Jesus Christ is the true light. We read that in Isaiah 60. Israel will be the example, radiating the light of Christ. And we too will be there as the church, the resurrected saints. The second reason, they'll be taught God's way and be shown the true path and be able to learn how to walk in it, Micah 4. They will learn how to walk with God on his path, not their own path. The third reason, they'll be open to God's laws and commandments, also found in Micah 4. They will see why Israel is being blessed, because they're keeping God's laws and commandments. The fourth reason, finally, they see the goodness of the Lord. Jeremiah 31, kind of went over that, but it says that they'll find the goodness of the Lord. Jeremiah 31, God is merciful, he's loving, he's compassionate. He's not a tyrant as the world sees him today. They're going to understand who God really is, who Jesus Christ really is. And the fifth reason, blessings of wheat, wine, oil, and meat, physical blessings. They're going to see that God's way really works. And the sixth reason, most importantly, their souls will be a well-watered garden. The Holy Spirit will be available, Isaiah 60. No more spiritual thirsting. They'll be able to accept God's way of life, receive God's Holy Spirit, and have the chance and opportunity to live for eternity. you know, what a wonderful time this is going to be, and you and I are going to have a hand in it, helping these people. We'll be a part of something great. It first starts with Israel, and then the Gentiles will want to flow like a stream to Jerusalem. Let's look at one more reason why the Gentiles will want to flow to Jerusalem. It's found in Zechariah 8. We're going to read a couple scriptures here in Zechariah 8, so I'll start reading in verse 20. We're going to read another passage in Zechariah 8. Zechariah 8, verse 20 says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come and inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts, and I myself will go also." Verse 22, "Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and pray before the Lord." So there's going to be a gathering of cities, a gathering of people, and this is going to take time. You know, first Israel must be set up as the example nation, then the Gentiles will see that example and want to be a part of something marvelous and great. Again, who knows how far into the millennium this will take place, but God's not going to force the people. They will be urged by the example Israel sets. They must come like a flowing stream. They must be enlightened and see that example. Verse 23. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nation shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." Cities and nations will want to be a part of something great. Who knows, maybe this is a feast that the Jewish people are going to, and they grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man and say, we want to be with you. We want to be a part of this. Well, what else could they want? Gentiles want to flow to Jerusalem for. One of my favorite scriptures found in Zechariah 8, verse 4. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with a staff in his hand because of great age." That's the reason why they want this. People are going to be healthy. Even at an old age, they'll be healthy. They'll have a staff in their hand, not in a wheelchair, not able to walk, get around. They'll be healthy. Verse 5, "The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets." No worry about some suicide bomber. No worrying about someone trying to abduct them. No worrying about someone trying to crash into them with a car. No indoor playing Nintendo or computer games. They're going to be out in the streets playing. And then my favorite scripture, one of my favorites, verse 6. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people," we'll just stop right there. If it's marvelous in the eyes of the Israel, of the remnant, is it marvelous in your eyes and my eyes as well? Do we take these prophecies for granted? Do we get goosebumps when we read these scriptures because they're going to actually happen? "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in those days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts." It's marvelous in God's eyes, and it must and it should be marvelous in our eyes, or we're just missing the point here. Read, when you get a chance, read verses 7 through 13. It's a wonderful follow-up to these scriptures. We must comprehend the magnitude of these events that unfold. We must keep this vision of how God's working things out. You know, Adam and Eve lost the vision, but we should never lose that vision. God has called you and I to flow to Him today. He flows to us with the Holy Spirit flowing through us. And He will attract billions to flow to Him in the millennium and the great white throne judgment period. You and I are part of something great. If it's marvelous in God's eyes, then it better be marvelous in our eyes as well.